So Deisha is on Shavuos, okay? What is Shavuos? First of all, in the Torah, Shavuos is called Chag HaBikurim, the festival of the first fruits, and Chag HaShavuot, the festival of weeks. Chag HaShavuot is obviously related to Sfiras HaOmer. It's the end of Sfiras HaOmer, according to the Ramban in Chumash. The end of Sfiras HaOmer, it starts the festival on Pesach. Sfiras HaOmer is like Chol HaMoed, intermediate days. And Shavuos is Atzeret. Shavuos is the end of Chag HaPesach. Just as the end of Sukkot is Atzeret, Shmini Atzeret, right? Which Chachamim made into Simchas Torah, right? So Shavuos is the end of Pesach and is Man Matan Torah Teilu, the time when we receive the Torah. That's how it was in the Midbar. That's how it was when we receive the Torah in the Midbar, in the desert. Yeah? Okay. How are these two concepts of Shavuos and Bikurim, Bikurim is bringing the first fruit, related to giving of the Torah? So, simply speaking, Sfiras HaOmer we know is a preparation. We left Mitzrayim on 49th level of impurity, and we were raised up to the level of purity through the 49 days of the Omer to reach the 49th level of purity, which is the highest level man can reach. And then we're given the Torah as a matana, as a present. Torah, we have to, in order to receive Torah, we have to be a vessel which is clean in order to receive Torah, and only then is Torah given to us as a matana. So that's what it means, Chag HaShavuot. It's the end of these weeks of counting and preparation that man goes from man's birth on Pesach to man's cognitive self, or the highest level that man can get to his cognitive self on Shavuos, and then man gets his higher cognitive self, his higher persona, which is his higher level neshama, his chochma and his bina, which is his diktarim that Klal Yisrael, the crowns that Klal Yisrael received on Shavuot. So that's the concept of Shavuot. Concept of Bikurim, we know from Chazal that all the seven species that were praised the Eretz Israel, those seven species of fruit and the Etrog were, according to many opinions, the fruit that man ate. That was the Eitz Hadas. So now, the problem with man's chet by eating the Eitz Hadas, he blamed his wife, says Chazal. And man was kofer. Man reneged on the tov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. Chag HaBikurim is basically the chag in which we bring those same fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, and we minif them, we elevate them from being physical things as a korban, right? Man's toil and his first fruits are brought to as a hoda'ah, as a praise and recognition of God's goodness that he did to man through his own toil. Right? And therefore man bringing these bikurim and raising them, being by the hanafa, it's called waving them to Hashem on Chag HaBikurim, on Shavuos, right? I mean the period from that is from Shavuos till from Shavuos starts man the simcha of bringing the harvesting till the end of the harvesting, which is Sukkot, right? So that's the time we bring bikurim, which starts on Shavuos. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's Chag HaBikurim. And because of Chag HaBikurim, that is a tikkun, that's a fixing of man's chet. Because man's chet was not hakara, a non-recognition of the good that God gave him, which was his wife. And now, on Shavuos, man recognizes from that his toil, from man's toil, that which man toils in, he recognizes the goodness that God gave him in the world, and that hakaras hatov and recognition of the good that God gave him is a fixing of man's sin of Chag HaBikurim. And just as the receiving of Torah was a fixing of the sin of Adam HaRishon, that man got to a recognition and a clarity of and a relationship with his Creator, So too, that's the concept of, in terms of midas, of Derech Eretz, a man fixed himself into recognizing God's goodness, and when man recognizes God's goodness, man becomes in a place where man can receive the Torah. The concept also of Shavuos is that man was born, or the Jewish people were born, on Pesach, and the growing up, the process of growing up, comes to Shavuos, and Shavuos is like Bar Mitzvah. And then when a child becomes a Bar Mitzvah, he gets a higher cognitive self which is given to him. It's called the Ketarim. It's exactly what happens on Shavuos. So Klal Yisrael came to their cognitive self on Shavuos. And when a man comes to his cognitive self, man's ready to have a relationship with his Creator. That's why Shavuos is also considered the marriage of the Jewish people to Hashem. Because a Gadol, person who has cognitive self, can now have responsibility and have a relationship, which is a responsible relationship. So that's why on Shavuos we say Shir HaShirim, which represents the love of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to his wife, Kiviyachol, which is Klal Yisrael, which is Jewish people. So man can only have a deeper relationship, right, when man is cognitive, when man is his cognitive self. If man is not his cognitive self, man cannot have a relationship. A child cannot have a proper relationship. Only a Gadol, someone who has a awareness of his self, can have a proper relationship. That's why only a Gadol can do Kiddushin. So only when man became a cognitive man can he have a relationship with his Creator. Mm-hmm. Shavuos represents the beginning of that relationship. You then have Chet HaEgel, right? And then you have breaking of the Luchas, and you have going the Midbar, and then finally coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And then finally building the Beis HaMikdash. The final building of the Beis HaMikdash is when man, so to speak, 20 years old. The step from Bar Mitzvah to throwing away what you got as a Bar Mitzvah, and the Begidah, the fighting against what you received from your parents, so to speak, what you received from your Creator, that's the adolescent age. That's teenagers. The Begida. That period of time is till 20. And then 20, man becomes his full cognitive self. And in order for man to come to his full cognitive self, man goes through a process of rejecting and reaffirming. That's what every teenager does. And the Jewish people, so to speak, in the Midbar, were rejecting and reaffirming. And that was those were the journeys that man had in the Midbar. And those are the journeys that every child or every human being has from Bar Mitzvah to 20, or even later. Nowadays people say, people are still teenagers, still 35. Okay, because it takes longer for us to mature. But according to simple understanding, from 13 to 20, that's the teenager years. Those are the years of Begida, of going against conforming with what you receive from your parents and society, and then man tests his ground to find his own personal way. And usually his personal way will be similar to his parents, so long as the parents hold on to him and accept him. But that's the period of time is a period of time of Begida, man going outside of himself. That's the period of time that Klal Yisrael had in the Midbar, before coming to Eretz Yisrael, in the wilderness, before coming to Eretz. That's Parshas Bamidbar, Chumash Bamidbar. Okay. The graduation from being born on Pesach and then becoming Bar Mitzvah, the Shavuos. Bar Mitzvah means, what do I mean? Bar Mitzvah, you go from a self in which you're not a cognitive self, and you get your higher persona on Shavuos. That concept is a concept of Geirus. A non-Jew goes through Geirus. What does that mean? It means he goes through a level in which he has a lower level of self in terms of spiritual self, right? and he gets his higher persona, which is his Chochmah and his Bina, his Ketarim, which is associated with Jewish people, that higher level self, that's what a Ger gets. That's what a non-Jew gets when he becomes a Ger. So that's the same concept on Shavuos. The same concept of Shavuos is when, it's like Bar Mitzvah, in a sense, a Bar Mitzvah boy, what he gets on Shavuos is like what a Ger gets when he becomes from, when he becomes Jewish. You get your higher persona, your neshama and your bina and your chochma, your neshama and your chaya, right? Your life-giving self, which is your chochma, your higher-level chochma, higher-level intellect, right? Your higher-level intuition and your higher-level intellect. That's what a person gets on Shavuos. Those are the ketarim that the Jewish people got on Shavuos. So the Jewish people on Shavuos were also like a ger shit gairu, like a non-Jew that became Jewish. On Shavuos, we became Jewish. That part of our soul became intrinsic to the Jewish soul. That why every child has now, from Shavuos, has those parts of his soul. Because of the Avos, because of the forefathers, and because of what happened in Matan Torah. Those are Ketarim. We lost those Ketarim. Those Ketarim were supposed to remain with us had we received the Torah, and they would not have gone from us. But because of Chet HaEgel, right, we lost those Ketarim. Those Ketarim were lost for us, and every mitzvah we do brings part of those crowns back. Yeah. On Shabbos, the extra neshama, we get our crowns back to a certain level. That's why Shabbos is a day of Me'ein Olam Haba. It's the day of Matan Torah. And that's what it was. Originally, Shabbos was the day of Matan Torah. And that explains why we read Megillas Rus on Purim. Because Megillas Rus, she was the first, so to speak, that the concept of a Ger Tzedek was Rus HaMoavia. That she came to Torah, Tachat Kanfei HaShechina. And that's why we read Rus on Shavuos. Because in a certain sense, the whole Jewish people were a Ger Shitgayru on the night of Shavuos. They got the higher persona, the higher cognitive self. Okay. Also, because David HaMelech, right, died on Shavuos night. Well, he was also born on Shavuos night. And David HaMelech represents Malchus. And the receiving of the Torah in this world is an expression of God's will in this world, is the expression of Malchus. And that's the purpose of Malchus. The purpose of a Jewish king is to bring God's will into this world, i.e. to bring his higher persona of your creator, his rots and his will, into this world. That's the purpose of Malchus, and that's why there's a minute to read Tehillim on Shavuos, because that's what David HaMelech wrote. And that's an expression of his Malchus, that bringing all these different aspects of God's will into the world, which is represented in David HaMelech, right? Who represents Malchus, and he also came from Rut HaMoaviyah. So there must be something associated with what Rut did with David HaMelech. The Gemara says, what is Rut? What does the word Rut mean? It means that she praised, Shashara, she praised God, Beshirot, her son or grandson, praised God, Beshirot Tishbachot, with praises. That's why she called Lashon Rut, it's Shirot. Rut is Shirot, praises of God. So what does a Ger have to do with having a grandson who praises God? Tell him, what does that to do with? Because what does a Ger do? What does Rut do? Rut, right, says to Naomi, your God is my God, your people is my people. Through all the tsaros that she went through, and she lost her husband, and she lost all her means of physical enablement, right? She still followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she still followed Naomi. That means she nullified herself to the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That nullification of self to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the concept of Malchus. That's why we understand from Ruth came Malchus. But what's that to do with Shirot? What's that to do with praising God? Shir, we said, the concept of Shir, the Gemara says, you see matbeot, if you see coins in the form of a Shir, in the form of a circle, right? So Shir represents a circle. A circle represents, and there's no corners, there's no specific place which are more prominent than in another place. When a person takes himself, whenever you circle or encircle something, it means what's in the middle is important and what's around is tuffle, is nullified to what's inside. Sheer, by definition, means that you are praising something that's higher than you. That means you're nullifying yourself to something higher. That's the concept of sheer. So that's why what Ruth did by nullifying her will to the will of the Creator, and which way she became a ger, is the concept of the Shirot, the songs of David Melech, Psalms, that the praise of God, because he was nullifying his persona to the will of God. And that nullification of self to the will of God is the concept of Malchus. And that's the concept of bringing God's will into the world, because you nullify your will to his will, Memele, his will, becomes your will and gets expressed in the world. That's why Ruth, her name is a remnant to the Shirot, as the Gemara says in Brachas, which David HaMelech expressed. Okay? So the Minig, this is the Minig of the Ari, the Zohar, the Klal Yisrael on Leil Shavuos say what's called a Tikkun. We say what's called Kishute Kala. We say the first three psukim of Bereishis and Chumash of the Parashat Bereishis and the last three psukim. Then we do Parashat Noah, first three, last three. Why? And then we go through the whole of Chumash and the whole of Tanakh that way. That's a minhag of the Ari. It's brought down in the Zohar. The Ari says how to do it. That's a minhag of the Ari. People do it. Sfarim do it. Usually Chassidim do it. Ashkenazim, the time, generally speaking, they learn Gemara. But that's a minhag. It's cool to dress up the color. Who's the color? The Jewish people. What's the concept of kishutim? Kishut means, jewelry. Kishut also in Aramaic means emes. Emes means what's beauty and truth to do with. If you have a nice looking ear and you put an earring there, it enhances its beauty. It shows the truth of the ear. The ear is nice in of itself. You put an earring, it enhances, it highlights the ear. If you have one small ear and one big ear, it's ugly. If you put earrings on your ears, it will show your ugliness, not your beauty. You understand? When there's symmetry, when there's balance, that's what emes means. Emes is the midah emsa'i. When there's balance, there's beauty. Right? So when you see, right, beauty and you put kishutim, you put adornments on those beautiful parts of the body, so it enhances the beauty. So what's the reading of the Chumash Tanakh, the first three psukim, the last three psukim? We're reading by saying the first three and the last three psukim of the parasha. We're saying the whole parasha is, these are just elements of my beauty. My beauty comes from keeping all of Tanakh. That's the beauty of Klal Yisrael. So we're adorning ourselves by reading the first few psukim and the last few psukim. That adorns us, right? And that adorns us and shows the beauty in that we're keeping Kol HaTorah Kula. So that we now dress up the Kala at night. That's the learning at night. And then during the day, before it comes nighttime, so just the Kala before she gets married, so Klal Yisrael dress themselves up, showing their beauty, which is the Meshubah to the will of God, i.e. the whole of Tanakh, right? And now they're going with Toivel in the Mikveh. The Toivel in the Mikveh, just as the Kala before she gets married, purifies herself to elevate herself to get to the next level, and that's also the concept of Gerus. And that Tefillah and those Kishute Kala bring man his higher persona. His higher persona is the concept of nullifying himself to the will of God, which is the Tanakh, right? And then the concept of nullifying himself in a mikveh. What happens in a mikveh? Man gets reborn. How does a mikveh work? When man goes into a mikveh, into the water, he completely puts himself in. He can't live in that form. He's effectively back into his mother's womb. When you're back into the mother's womb, you're in a form in which there's no life. You can't live in a form, not a born human being can't live in water, right? So it's like Kilu reborn. When he comes out of the mikveh, Kilu comes out newborn from his mother's womb. That's the tower of the mikveh. I'm a new person. And now, as a new form, I'm going to take on a new form. Now I've nullified my old form. What's my old form? My old form is all my own personal wills. And now I'm willing to take on a new form, which is God's will. So the concept of mikveh, the concept of tahara, the word tahot, like the Gemara says in Brachot, I heard this from Moshe, tahayoma means clarity of day. Tahot means clarity. When man removes from himself the non-clarity, i.e. his own wills, and aligns himself with the will of his creator, that produces tahara. So that's what Klal Yisrael do. They go to the mikveh, just kivyachol, the Klal Yisrael mitahe themselves, like the Kala's mitahe himself for her husband. The Kala's mitahe himself from being menudeh, from being separate, that we were separate in all these periods of the Omer. We didn't, there was no concept of cognitive man, the way that man could have his relationship. Now, on today, I'm sure as man came his cognitive self, he can now have a relationship, and therefore he prepares himself for that connection. The connection of Matan Torah, according to Arizal, is done in Musaf. That's called the Zivuk, that's called getting married. Because when we dive into Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Musaf represents the Shtei HaLechem, and the Korbanos that come with that Shtei HaLechem, then when man brings the two bread offerings of leavened bread, not matzah. Not matzah, which is meriva. Matzah is fighting. Not when man nullifies his yetzirah, but when man elevates all aspects of himself, even his physical self, to become the will of his creator, in shtei halechem, with two breads, right? Then man now became an elevated person, that his whole cognitive self has full domain on all of man's expression. And that's Kabbalah Soter on Shavuos night. Okay? On Shavuos day, sorry, in Musaf. Musaf is a very, very important thing. So the Ben Ish Chai, the pre of all our avoda is our Tfilas Musaf. Chazara, it's actually Chazara of Musaf, but the Musaf itself as well. The Kedusha in Musaf, that's what it's brought down in Svara. But, so therefore it's very important for a person, even if he stays up the whole night, to make sure he's not falling asleep in Musaf. Because this is now man's reconnection with Matan Torah, whenever man reconnects, or whenever man connects in a special way, it's always a time of din. Din means litpalel, right? Tlilim means din. It palel means whenever man has a connection, if he misses that connection, there's din. Whenever there's expectations of connection and we disconnect, there's din. Right? So whenever man connects in such a way, right, and then there's rachamim, there's mercy. But if man disconnects in a place with this connection, that is the concept of din. That's why on Shavuos we need on Peros Ha'ilah.
When what?
We're judged on the fruit of a tree. What's the fruit of the tree? Because a man, the pasuk says, "Ki Adam hu eitz hasadeh." Man is like a tree. Just as a tree produces fruit, so man through his actions produces the fruit of his actions. Just as we say in Parshas Noach, Eile told us Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach. Noach himself is his generations. I mean, the fruit of Noach, the fruit of a righteous person is in Maisim Tovim, his good acts. So just as Noach has brought into the world his good acts, his fruit, so too man, right? His produce is his good actions. Those actions are nidon on Shavuos. Those actions are judged on Shavuos, right? Says the Arizal, the whole of man's year is being judged, just as, so to speak, the end of judgment is on Shmini Atzeres, so to on Shavuos, it's the end of judgment of all this period of time, Sfiras Omer. The two periods. This is Mitzad Chesed, Mitzad man's expression, and Rosh Hashanah till Shmini Atzeres is Mitzad man's potency. That Mitzad Din, and this is Mitzad Sfiras Chesed. Sounds man's expression. So there's two judgments in the world. There's Rosh Hashanah, where man's judged on his potency, and there's Shavuot, when man's judged on his fruit, on his expression. But that's, so therefore, Man Matan Torah, man is judged on his expression in the world. It's a day of judgment, just as Shmini Atzeret is the end of Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur is the final day of judgment. So too, Shavuos Atzeret is the final judgment from the period of Pesach, from Sfiras Omer. There's a few minhagim to mention. We eat machle chalav. So it's brought down in halacha. Why do we eat chalav on the chuda in the morning of Shavuos? Because since we were kageshid guys, since we became tachat kanfei Hashchina, our previous food that we ate, we didn't have kosher kelim. We didn't have kosher vessels to cook meat. So the only thing we could have was milky. So that's why we have. Also because since Shavuos is the Tzman of Matan Torah, the time of giving, and Torah is like the mother's milk, right? So that's why we have milky foods on Shavuos. Okay, you also have honey cake, because Torah is like honey. It's sweet like honey, right? Now, let's explain this a little bit more detail. What's the concept of milk? The concept of milk is the concept of chesed. Like basa v'chalav is din, which is basa, meat, you cut, you shecht an animal, is din. Chesed is what a mother gives to its child. Milk and meat you can't have together because you're mixing din and chesed. You're mixing milk and meat, which is din and chesed. Those are opposite concepts. They can't be mixed. That's why we have our chakas. We separate from the mixing of two things which should be opposite. On Shavuos, it's a time of complete chesed. Remember, man gets this ultimate chesed. The ultimate chesed that a person can give you is Torah. The Gemara says that it starts the Torah with a mice of chesed, with a Kodesh Baruch Hu finding for man his ultimate fixing in the world, which is his wife, removing man's existential crisis of loneliness. And his final act of chesed was burying Moshe Rabbeinu, burying man. So what's the Gemara telling us? That it's chesed, Torah is chesed in the beginning and chesed at the end. In other words, to tell you that all of Torah is chesed. That's why Torah is called Rachmana, mercy, right? Because Torah is kulo chesed. Therefore, by eating only machle chalav and not meat on Shavuos, we're showing that the giving of the Torah is a giving of complete chesed. It's the complete chesed that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to them. The biggest chesed that you can do for a person is to make him into a cognitive being, to make him into a thinking human being. That's the biggest chesed you can do to a person. You can give him food, you can clothe him, but the biggest chesed you can do to him is make him into a thinking person, because if he's a thinking person, he can work out how to get his food and clothing, and how to get his happiness, and how to get all that he needs in life, and his meaning, which brings him his ultimate happiness. But only a thinking person gets it. So the biggest chesed that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave to the whole of mankind was giving Torah to the Jewish people. Through them, mankind will come to its ultimate enlightenment, which is understanding God's will, which is the time will come when Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, when God's name, God is one and His name is one, i.e. the whole of the world sees the unity of God's will and comes close to God. That's the ultimate level of chesed, that when a person reaches his ultimate cognitive self. That's the biggest chesed you can do to a person, is to educate him in order to he become a higher cognitive self. Not educate him in he becomes a clever guy to do right in the world, to do bad in the world, rather you educate him that he becomes a giving person. And he knows how to express himself in a giving way in the world. When you give that to a person, you've given him the maximum that you can give to a human being. And that's why Zman Matan Torah is a tremendous chesed. It's the highlight of the Midah of Chesed that was first expressed with the birth of Jewish people in Pesach. And that's why we don't, on Shavuos Bedavka, and also we see, I explain, we'll see that on Shavuos Bedavka we don't eat meat on that meal. The first meal we eat is milk that represents the Chesed that the Kodesh Baruch Hu did for us on that day. We don't eat meat in that meal, we only eat milk. You understand? That's the concept of the minhag that we have milk on Shavuos. And it's related to what I said before. Because when man receives his cognitive self, that's an example. Man, more the Jewish people, didn't have the kelim to eat meat. Because they became Gershid Gaya. Gershid Gaya, a gerus, person becoming a ger, That's a continent of Maram. So you need a continent that's cognitive self. That's the biggest chesed. So it's also represented in all those ideas. It's the same idea woven into those ideas. So that's what that's the reason for the minhag of challah. Dvash, the Torah is sweet. Why does Torah have to be sweet? We say, in the only bracha, we don't say, let tefillin be sweet in us. We say, let Torah be sweet. Why should Torah be sweet? Because if man's learning how to be a higher level man, that should be the most sweetest thing that a person can involve himself in. When man gets to understand his full powers, his full cognitive abilities, that should be the sweetest thing that you can do to man. That's why the Torah is nimshal to dvash. That's why when a kid is 3 years old, he licks the dvash that's on the otiyot. We still have that a minute today. So his first contact with Torah should be sweetness. A man should understand, but also the concept of sweetness is a concept of the removal of din. Torah is the thing which removes man from his din, from his judgmental self, from his yetzahara, from the ra in the world, from all those things which negate man from his proper expression. So that's the concept of sweetening the din, sweetening his yetzahara. The Torah tavlin li yetzahara, Torah is that which can nullify the yetzahara and bring it out into its proper purpose. That's why the shtei halechim were chametz. Chametz, the Gemara says, saw should be isa, the saw in the isa, the unleavened, the leaven in the isa, zu yetzahara. On Shavuos is the only time we bring bread which is leaven, because now that we have matan Torah, Torah tavlin li yetzahara, we can sublimate all of man's physical self and make them tov and put them in its right proportion, its right expression in the world. That's the concept of Torah. That's the concept of matan Torah.